just got to keep working, man, because we haven't done a whole lot yet. It is exciting, but, you know, us, we're still hungry, you know. It's a good feeling on Sunday after the game and Monday when you do get a victory, and it kind of fuels you to want more. So, you know, it is exciting, but we're excited to continue to try to pull some victories.
Jordan Poyer, we talked to him earlier today. Find that on demand at WGR550.com. Sunday's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Still summer.
What's today? When's the is it the 21st? Is the what's the day?
It this year is September 23rd at 3:50 in the morning.
It seems later.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was
why.
The 20th, 21st.
I'm learning about this. The equinox this year is Monday, September 23rd. There's a meteorological start to the season and an astronomical start to the season.
Oh, everybody knows that.
And they don't match up at all.
Oh, come on. I mean, I've known that since I was four. I mean,
turns out, remember we talked yesterday about how summer starts June 1st, Memorial Day, and fall starts Labor Day, September 1st.
Yeah.
The meteorological calendar lines up with the seasons that we think of. It's the astronomical calendar that doesn't.
Why do we use that?
I don't know.
Who determined the September 20 whatever is the first day of fall?
I don't know.
Can we get
the here's the answer. The astronomical start of the season has to do with the relation of the Earth to the sun.
Oh,
it's marked by a solstice or an equinox.
Got it.
Okay. Meteorological. Man, thank God I'm not a meteorologist.
That's a hard one, yeah.
It's based on the annual temperature cycle on the 12-month calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Climate scientists and
Meteorologists.
They create this definition to keep records of the weather since the start of each meteorological season doesn't change. The equinox moves around, and the meteorological ones don't.
All right.
So, Sunday's game against the Bengals?
Is summer.
Summer.
Well, it's going to be near 80 degrees.
It will feel like summer. Unless, of course, you're talking to, someone on the news. Because they...
What's the job title for someone on the news who talks about the weather?
Meteorologist. If I got certified by the AMS, would I then be allowed to claim that September 1st is the start of fall? I think yes. I think once you're licensed, you get to say, oh, no, my seasons are different. Right?
No, I believe you have to follow the rules.
You're in the American Meteorological Society.
But there's a set of rules that as a member of the American Meteorologist Now you got me doing
Ooh, yeah.
it.
Yeah, right.
American
back at
Meteorological
you.
Society.
You bust. No, that. You
Kevin Cheveldayoff.
What?
I believe you have to follow the rules when you're certified.
Right, and the rules would be of the society.
Well, you're picking the M one instead of the astronomical calendar.
Right, the one that you got the degree in.
But then, now you're making my brain
That's
hurt.
It. I got to go to AMS school so I can have my seasons right.
All right. I'm tweeting at Patrick Hammer. He can settle this
3:50 Monday morning.
I'll be up for it.
Right when you're waking up from the haze of 3-0, feeling good after the win over the Bengals.
If they lose Sunday, I'm not coming in Monday, just so you know. It's going to be a little bit of a downer.
I think they're going to win. And
I think
it's going to be a fun game.
I feel good about the matchup. And you know what? It's funny. The Giants game, for me, this isn't exactly where I was, but let's face it. The first two games were, we were pretty confident the Bills were better than the Jets. I think everybody felt the Bills were better than the Giants. I'm not sure exactly what Cincinnati is all about, but there are enough issues they're having, and I really do like the way the Bills' offense has looked. I don't have a bone to pick with the Bills' defense. Obviously, it's been very strong for the first two games in numerous areas. But I feel good again because of who they're playing. I mean, the Bengals, they're banged up front. They haven't been able to run the ball. They don't have their best receiver. I know Ross is off to a good start, but A.J. Green's probably not playing. They're literally afraid of putting linebackers on the field because they're not good. Sorry, Preston Brown fans. And you can make plays against their secondary. There are a lot of things to feel good about in this matchup on Sunday. So, yes, I feel confident about this. And if they lose... I feel a cough coming on. So here's the deal.
Is that cough them choking?
Yes.
Well, you know what 3-0 will be? It'll be nice, but 3-0 will be kind of a gateway to, hey, if the Bills are going to be good this year, they should probably start 3-0. That seems to be how it went.
Yeah.
Or at worst, 2-1.
Well,
If you're good, you got to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're on their way to maybe getting that done.
If we're going to have a discussion about whether they're going to make the playoffs, I think realistically we all have to think 10 wins. 9-7 can get you in, but it's risky. So if we're going to have a realistic discussion or expect the Bills to get to 10 wins this year, you beat Cincinnati at home. You win that game. You know, there are games that Dallas, the two New England games, the Baltimore game, maybe the Pittsburgh game changes. I still believe that the game in Nashville, there are games on the schedule you look at and go, okay, yeah, guys, I mean, I think we might win. I don't know. I'm not sure. I hope, blah, 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 blah. But if you're talking about getting to 10 wins, this game you win. You know, you beat a team that's not as good as you at this point at home. You sweep Miami. You beat the Jets at the end of the year. You beat Denver at home. You beat Washington at home. Every other game after that, I think, I'm not going to pull a coin out. You'll yell at me. But every other game after that, you can say, yeah, we might win. They might lose. But there are still a handful of games on the schedule, including this Sunday, you'd look at and go, yeah, this game you win if you got to get to 10. This is a game you have to take. And I feel like they will for a number of different matchup reasons. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on Football Friday. So we are at the point, there's not a lot of games to think about this Sunday. We're at a point where someone texted us this morning and said, hey guys, Titans-Jags tonight, who do we root for? How cool that we're having that discussion in September. Usually that's when they're in the hunt. At Thanksgiving, we have to figure this out.
Well, we've done this in week one before.
Well, but the Bills-Jets, like we said, like that can be a wild, not,
No.
We didn't go through the whole schedule and say root
done,
for this team.
We've done other games. We did the opener.
In week one?
We did the NFL opener.
The Thursday night game?
Steelers-Patriots.
Oh, yeah, that's
or
funny.
Chiefs-Patriots.
All right, that's funny.
We have done. Right. Who should you root for?
Well, here it's a very short schedule this week. Obviously, if it's an AFC-NFC game, root for the NFC. There are some obvious ones that are just AFC matchups. Sure, you want the Jets to beat New England, obviously. There are, so it's a short list, Jeremy, of AFC versus AFC where you could say, okay, this could have implications on the playoffs down the road. Titans-Jaguars.
Sure, Jaguars.
Jaguars, right? They're 0-2. Their starting quarterback's out. You know, the Bills have to go to Nashville. You'd like to get Tennessee a loss.
You don't want to get Gardner Minshew rolling, though.
Oh, is that
right?
Be
careful about that one.
Be worried about. Are you in the Gardner Minshew fan
club
now?
I love Gardner Minshew already.
You know, what if you shaved your beard and tried to look like Gardner Minshew with just the stash?
I could probably try.
Open up the shirt with the big hairy chest. Wasn't he wearing like a. Didn't he have like the 70s disco look the other day?
That he did. I'm on the Gardner Minshew train as well because I picked him up in our guillotine league.
Hang on. I got to add this to my list of questions for Scott Pianowski. Gardner Minshew. Okay. So anyway, yeah, I think the Jags are the play here. There's two games of note on Sunday, AFC, Baltimore, Kansas City. I think both end up winning their division, so I couldn't tell you who to root for. Do you have a preference?
I would say
they're both 2-0, and I think they're both favored to win their divisions.
Root for Kansas City.
Are you thinking
because
about
because you can give Baltimore a loss, and you'd like to give them two losses.
Okay, it's funny. I was thinking if you were going to the point where you start thinking about, well, the Bills make the wild card. Who do you want as the three? We've talked about this. Who would you want as the 3-4 division winners? Because you'd have to go on the road and play one of those two teams in the wild card round. I thought you were actually thinking which team is more beatable in the playoffs from a Bills perspective, should they make the wild card. So, all right. And then the other one is Houston and the Chargers in a 4-25 game. Texans are 1-1. Chargers are 1-1. You don't play either team this year. Any thought process on that one? Houston and the Chargers, both 1-1.
Root for the... No, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
It's too early.
And again, you don't have any direct contact with either team. So as opposed to your Baltimore logic, because you do play the Ravens later in the season and don't play the Chiefs. So those are really the three games of note from an AFC standings perspective. Those are the ones.
We're glossing over something. When you go 16-0, it doesn't matter what everybody else does.
I didn't want to get to that point just yet. I was going to wait another week. Maybe two. I'll tell you what, if they beat Cincinnati and New England, sure, we can have the 16-0 discussion. I'm just kidding. So those are the best game this weekend, I think, is Baltimore, Kansas City. The only problem is it's a 1 o'clock game. I think we're all going to be busy watching the Bills. I would like to see the Ravens and the Chiefs, but not going to see a second of that. I'll be busy with the Bills. Now, I talked about the other. There are a couple of other really intriguing games. The Sunday night game is Rams-Browns. That'll be a fascinating game.
It is intriguing.
And I that's right. I don't mean the best game or the most exciting. I'm talking about storylines, intriguing. That is filled with those because of where the Browns are. And by the way, it does have an impact on the Bills. You know, the Browns are a team that the Bills might be fighting for a wild card spot against later in the season. The other game for me that's intriguing. Go ahead.
It is kind of funny, though, that the best you can possibly be right now is 2-0. And the Browns are 1-1, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is, well, considering what's going on with the Browns. Mm. Is the best you can be is 2-0.
Yeah.
Last year, New England started 1-2.
Right, and they were fine,
right?
Obviously. Right? September is usually the month where we overreact to New England having losses. But it's not going to happen this year. Their schedule's too easy. The other game to me that's, you know, as a football fan, and you're looking at the schedule going, boy, that's a game I would tune in. To me, actually, it's Carolina and Arizona, which will probably have no bearing on playoff standings. I don't think either team's making the postseason. But in terms of intriguing storylines in Week 3, that's up there. Kyler Murray and what he's done in the first couple weeks, good. You know, slow starts in both games, strong finishes, and their passing game has been pretty good. You know, so I think watching Kyler Murray and how he develops, plus the Carolina story to me has now become, is Cam Newton shot? Now, I don't even know if he plays on Sunday, right? He's questionable with a foot injury. But he's having problems. He had the shoulder issues last year. Now he's got the foot. He's not running the ball as much. Maybe that's directly related to the foot injury. He doesn't look as good as in terms of passing the football. His game has dropped. And Jason Fitz was having this discussion on before we got on at 6. Is Cam Newton shot? And it's crazy to even think about that. But that, to me, makes Carolina and Arizona, because of those two quarterbacks, one of the more intriguing games on Sunday. That, and I guess you could try and figure out if you see whether the Dolphins and the Jets would actually cover the large point spreads this week. Any other games of note for you this weekend that you're keeping an eye on?
No, not really.
The late game, it's interesting. I was thinking Baltimore, Kansas City. Is there any way CBS could make that the late game? I'd like to see that at 4 o'clock. I'm going to guess New Orleans, Seattle at 4:25 is on CBS. So I'm guessing most of the nation is going to get, if they've moved an NFC game over to CBS, yeah, it's because they're showing it to most of the nation.
Did you say Cam Newton? He has been ruled out, by the way.
Oh, he is out?
Yeah, Kyle Allen's going to play.
Oh. All right, well, I guess I have to watch Kyler Murray only now.
Yeah, on the TV map, most of the country gets Baltimore, Orleans, Kansas City, and also New Orleans, yeah, and Seattle.
Yeah, because CBS, that's one of those games. You know, they changed the rules where CBS and Fox can grab other games from the other conference, yeah, on occasion.
Here's a
funny. CBS took that one.
Funny little twist. Rochester does not get New Orleans, Seattle.
Rochester, what are they getting? Is that a Pittsburgh market?
Pittsburgh, San Francisco.
Is Rochester considered like a secondary Steelers market or something? Why would they get that game? That just doesn't make any sense.
And then the Fox game is Giants, Tampa, the late game.
Ugh. Well, Daniel Jones is playing. I forgot.
Right.
That actually does add intrigue to that. Jameis Winston is always, whether he's up or down, and he's entertaining to watch because he can be a turnover machine, but he can also make some big plays. That actually is a game that you'd look at to see Daniel Jones play and see how he does, I think. You know, watching the young quarterbacks, I just talked about Kyler Murray. Again, that's neither team is going to have an impact, I don't think, on playoffs. But I would watch that because of the two quarterbacks in the matchup, right? That's what we do in the NFL. And the quarterbacks are interesting. You watch the game. If it's quarterbacks that are, you know, a couple second stringers playing, you don't watch the game, and that's where the ratings are going down and people panic about something's wrong with the NFL.
Home opener.
Andy Dalton still get cheered when he walks out on the field Sunday? Or do we stop that now?
100%.
We do that forever?
100%.
Tyler,
yes.
Boyd too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They definitely get a lot of thank yous from within earshot, people, yeah, in the lower level.
Only when he walks out. I'm talking before the game starts.
Even after the game.
Okay, but
even
not during the game.
He will be appreciated and thanked, yeah, and Tyler Boyd will possibly as well. Not as much.
No, but you always remember. I always remember Tyler Boyd. I mean, he got donations to his charity as well out of that.
He did.
So that's so funny. The end. Yeah, Dalton, I mean, it's forever going to be remembered.
Did I hear that there's a message on the Jumbotron from Dalton? There probably will be, right? Wouldn't Andy Dalton say, hey, Bills fans, Andy Dalton here, wanted to thank you for...
Didn't he do that when they were here for the preseason game? Because he was at Roswell earlier in the day.
That's right.
I thought he might have done a message that time.
They did play the Bengals in the preseason.
Yeah.
That was last year.
They showed video of his trip to Roswell that day. It was last year.
It was last year.
Right, not this year. Yeah. But I thought he might have done a message then.
Did they bury it, or did they just kind of do it again? Hmm. Hey, with your money, we've been able to...
I guess you could do that, sure.
It would be a nice touch.
Yeah. Is Wall of Fame too much for Andy Dalton after his career is over?
Texter asks, is taking the Bills in a Survivor play worth the risk?
Oh, I got to get my brother a Survivor pick. Thank you for reminding me. Would I take the Bills? I do feel confident, but now we're talking money on the line and a Survivor pool. Sure, go ahead, take the Bills.
They are 1-4 lifetime against Andy Dalton, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure about a survivor pick, but I could do that.
I got to do this. I got to do some homework after the show.
I'll tell you, getting knocked out of Survivor in week one is pretty fun. pretty liberating.
No, like, come on.
I got nothing to worry about.
No, you what are you kidding me? That makes everything more interesting. It would be like you being knocked out in week one of your guillotine league.
Yeah. Not fun.
No, I was just texting my brother to help him with the Survivor pick. All right, 803-0550 as we talk about the Bills and the Bengals with you, 888-550-2550. You know, how you're feeling about the game on Sunday. But we were talking about the tailgate experience too, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about it on tomorrow's show. In light of the fact that there'll be a bigger police presence, a bigger security presence, and the whole Skywatch Tower thing set up on Sunday. Your experiences in the Bills tailgating lots, what have they been like? You can share them with us. I have an instant trivia for you guys. Put on your thinking caps, and I will grab my notes here. Brayton, are you ready to go and help him out? I'm going to make this. I think you guys should handle this. It's not that hard. The Bills are trying to go 3-0 on Sunday. The last time they opened the season 3-0 was
2011.
So I took a look back at the 2011 season, kids. What I'm looking for is going with the offense, and you don't even have to do the offensive line. But the top players, like the guys who started, took the majority of snaps, quarterback, couple running backs, three wide receivers, tight end. The skill position guys, 2011 Bills, when they were 3-0, these were the guys who were the key players at that of those positions.
Okay.
The quarterback was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep. Fred Jackson.
One of the running backs was Fred Jackson.
CJ.
Of course, CJ, because I don't know whose turn it was that day.
Donald Jones.
Donald Jones is one of the three. That's very good.
Stevie
one of the three
Johnson.
Receivers. That's two. Who's the other top receiver on that team? Would have been, I'm trying to think if he was second in catches. He might have been second or third in catches on that team. Undrafted free agent, 2010. Played 3 years here. Then went on to the Jets. Taller, thinner kind of receiver. I would give you a clue, and I think it'll give it away. Remembered for giving the ball to his girlfriend after catching a touchdown.
Oh, David Nelson.
David Nelson was on that team.
Yeah.
He, Stevie, and Donald Jones were the top three receivers. Who was the tight end?
Scott Chandler.
Scott Chandler. Do you think you can get, you could get two of the offensive linemen.
Eric Wood.
Eric Wood at center. You should get the left guard.
Andy Levitre.
Landy Levitre. Forget it after that.
Demetrius Bell.
How the heck did you get Demetrius Bell? I tried to come up with clues. Hold on.
Jonas Jennings?
Hold on there, smarty pants. Wait a minute. Now, Demetrius Bell was at left tackle, but two guys basically split games that year. There was another left tackle.
Was Jonas Jennings not on the team?
No.
Okay, he was gone by then. Two other tackles to be named from the
2011
And you're
missing
Bills.
The right guard and the right tackle.
Jeff Hangartner.
No.
Melvin Fowler.
No, but that does bring up MF.
Chris so Valerial.
Good. No.
No, I'm going too far back.
How about, clues were so hard for these guys. The other left tackle, I don't even know. Fourth round pick in 2011, played here for like 4 years.
Okay, fourth round pick.
Went to the Chargers. I've got nothing else for clues. I'm really sorry.
Fourth
round pick. Their Wikipedia pages are barren.
2011. As we're thinking about this, a texter asked what the Bills were wearing on Sunday. The answer is white on white.
Oh, it's white on white.
It's white on white.
If I gave you the first name,
pretty sure the Bengals are wearing black on black.
Really?
I think so.
Ooh, that'll look good.
Fourth rounder.
First name. You want first name?
First initial.
C. Initials are CH.
I'm going to get this. Fourth round pick, 20.
I feel so bad. Fourth round pick in 2011. Chris Hairston.
Chris Hairston.
Okay, let's go right guard and right tackle. All right. The right guard was signed to the practice squad in 2010, elevated to the roster when Craig Urbick was hurt. He also filled in at center, but he started mostly at right guard. Also played with Washington, the Jets, and the Chargers. CR are his initials. First name, Chad.
Ruedel.
Second name, same name as a Sabres player, a current Sabres player.
Ristolainen. That's right, Chad Ristolainen.
Chad Reinhardt.
Who could forget Chad Ristolainen's time on the
Yes,
on
Chad Ristolainen.
Remember when he came up from the practice squad?
Yeah.
Chad Ristolainen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those tweets I have about trade Risto are trading for that guy.
The right tackle was with the Bills from 2010 to 2014, came here from Jacksonville.
Went to San Francisco. EP, initials.
Eric Pierce. That one I got, Eric Pierce. Well,
seriously? Try finding clues for Eric Pierce and Chad Reinhardt.
Do you have a fullback on that roster?
Sam Gash.
I got a texter who would ask about the fullback. I want to go with Corey McIntyre.
I think that was a little too recent.
He was a Rex guy, yeah.
Who that would have been. I think that was before Corey McIntyre.
Give me a second. I've got the slowest computer in the world. Hold on. 2011.
Fullbacks.
Pro Football Reference.
Damon Shelton.
Mm. I don't even know if there was a fullback on that team, but I like the Damon Shelton reference.
Please, like the Bills didn't have a fullback.
Well, did
get out of here.
Did Chan care about fullbacks?
Actually, maybe not.
It's Chan's offense. Okay, roster.
There had to be a special teamer.
Roster. I am looking, boys.
Hmm. Remember the all-fullbacks team that we did, Jeremy, the one day?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I don't see a... Who said Corey McIntyre?
I did.
Corey McIntyre.
Fullback, West Virginia University on the 2011 Bills.
Remember when Brayton called West Virginia, what was it, an elite university or an elite program or something?
Yeah.
What was your call?
Guess the prospects, right?
Yeah, and guess the prospects. You referred to West Virginia as something like
that. Wasn't it elite?
Maybe.
Wasn't that the clue for one of the guys? He played at one of the elite college football programs.
Then dropped a West Virginia on us.
WVU. I liked it. Brayton, don't worry about it. I liked it. I miss those days. Actually, I don't miss talking about quarterbacks in the draft all the time, and I hope I won't have to for 15 years. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. It is time when we get back to get you some fantasy football advice. Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports will join us in a moment. Gardner Minshew. There's a lot of stuff to get to. Let us remind you that Sunday, you should just listen to WGR all day long. Here's your plan. Bills and the Bengals, of course, playing. Our coverage starts at 7 o'clock in the morning with Bills Breakfast. Game day from the stadium with Jeremy at 8. Countdown to kickoff at 10 with Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase. It is a 1 o'clock game, the Bills and the Bengals. Weather's looking good. Warm, high near 80. There is a chance, what'd you say, there was a chance of a sprinkle before the game?
A little bit early, but I wouldn't even worry about it.
There is rain in the forecast, but it sounds like it's going to be after the game, so you should be okay from 1 to 4. And again, a high near 80. So 1 o'clock kick, Murph, Capaccio, Wood, bring you the broadcast here on WGR after the game. Talk about it with Show Up and the Bulldog. And then at 6, it is the overtime show with Nate Geary. That is our game day lineup Sunday on WGR.
Ravens versus Chiefs. You know, I don't really look at it like I'm competing against him. I'm competing against his defense, if anything. I depend on my defense, you know, to do a great job of stopping him. And my job is to score points. So that's what I'm going to do.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens off to a 2-0 start will take on the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. Brandon Montour is out for the rest of the preseason with a hand injury. I thought it said the rest of the season. That's why I said,
You scared me. Yeah.
I read it fast and I got scared.
I swear, when you said, oh my goodness, Brandon Montour is out, I thought you were going to say he's out for the season.
I fixed it.
Don't do that to me.
He's out for the rest of the preseason with a hand injury. I had told you earlier in this show
that I'm hyperventilating.
I had been hearing from a certain someone that's back on the grid that it's a broken hand for Montour, and the Sabres just announced hand injury, rest of the preseason. That might be into the regular season, depending on how that injury is.
You just look on the back of the tickets I bought from you. Are they refundable if there's too many injuries?
No.
Yeah, that's a good deal. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. It is, boy, you talk about a good week to talk with Scott Pianowski. Well, every week is a good week for Scott to join us from Yahoo Sports for fantasy football, but man, there is a ton of stuff going on with quarterbacks and fantasy implications this week. So let's go to the Western Hotline. Scott is joining us. Good morning, Mr. Pianowski. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm good, but it's the guy across the board, the table from me, who's got all the fantasy stuff going on.
Yeah, Scott, I was just going to run something by you here. You know, you're in some guillotine leagues, right?
I'm familiar with the format, but okay. I've actually never played in it.
Oh, okay, good. Well, let me get you in one of those soon. but one thing I wanted to run by you, you're familiar with the format. You know, Tuesdays are where people put in their blind bids, right? It's just like the waiver process, like any other waiver process, but with much bigger players that become available because you get blue chip guys that are on the market. And I was kind of having a thought about it where the waiver process in a guillotine league is the only thing, I think, left in fantasy football where you really struggle to find numbers or analytics on it, if you know what I mean, right? If I want to do a trade, I can go to a website and do a trade analyzer. If I want to see an auction price, his average draft position, all these things are kind of rolled in. And since every guillotine league has a different experience, it gets really hard to figure out how much should I bid on James Conner? How much should I bid on Larry Fitzgerald when there are 16 other teams and there really isn't any sort of outlet to say, you know, X number of dollars is the right number for this guy. It's definitely a unique format and presents a whole nother level of stress and challenge.
Yeah, and that's why I'm definitely in favor of hybrid formats, of playing in different formats. My version of that is I like drafting early before ADPs crystallize, before it's very clear what roles are going to be, before there's a lot of definition that sets into the league. So I really like drafting after. I don't draft before the NFL drafts. I think it's just a little bit too crazy to speculate where rookies might go. But I think I can connect dots quicker in June or in July than maybe the average player, and I want to take advantage of that. Now, the flip side is obviously some players will get hurt in the summer or situations will change. You know, Andrew Luck retired pretty much out of semi out of nowhere anyway. There's a little bit of hint to that. But I'm willing to accept that because it's uncharted territory, and it sounds like with these guillotine leagues, and again, I can't speak from any experience with them, but I'm very much in favor of hybrid formats. I think DFS is a great alternative. Mm-hmm. You've been absolutely ruined by injuries. You know, you can pick a healthy team every week if you play DFS, and then you just abandon it at the end of the week. Best ball is a great format to go into if you don't want extra maintenance, but you want the fun of another team. So let's play different formats. There's a lot of different ways to get engaged. You can just get in your old-fashioned pick'em pool with your office or whatever, then you have a stake in every game. So I'm in favor of all of these different things.
What do you make of the changing of the guard, not just at any one team, but all over the league at quarterback, whether it's the Giants, the Steelers, the Colts, the Saints, the
Jags,
Jaguars.
There's so many.
You know, quarterback is often a position that people can kind of, you know, jump in and out of no problem. But you've got really big players, whether it's Christian McCaffrey now no longer dealing with Cam Newton. Kamara doesn't have Breeze. Yeah. Barkley doesn't have Manning. You've got a lot of upheaval from the quarterbacks that run some of the offenses that are very big in leagues.
Yeah, I actually did a check engine light where I wrote up every quarterback situation on Yahoo. I think that came out Tuesday night, so check on that if you need a status check. A guy I'm really interested to watch is Kyle Allen in Carolina, and the reason why is because everybody saw the Panthers played on Thursday night last week, and Cam looks hurt, and he's a guy who running has been part of a staple of his fantasy value and his gravitas as a quarterback. I'm not sure how much he can do that anymore, and he's really never been a great pocket passer. As inexperienced as Allen is and as unsure of a thing he is, I just think at this point Carolina is better off playing with a healthy quarterback, whoever he is, than playing with an injured Cam Newton. So if you have a chance to get in a little bit depressed price on DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel, I think it's a good time to get in on those guys. And Greg Olsen's in a really good spot, I think, against an Arizona defense just been giving it away to the tight end. Hawkinson went ballistic on them in week one. They couldn't handle Mark Andrews in week two. Very good players. But, you know, Olsen, when he's healthy, is still a Pro Bowl caliber player as well. So I think it's a great week for Olsen. I'm not going to give up on these Carolina receivers. The tricky thing about New Orleans is we know Sean Payton loves Taysom. I mean, find somebody who loves you as much as Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill. Yep. We're not really sure who their quarterback is. It could be both guys. They could get packages. They could get series. They could be on the field at the same time together. My gut, my spidey sense on this is telling me that Hill is actually going to be the primary guy and maybe even the full-fledged starter. Remember, he's in his late 20s. I mean, he's somebody whose life has gone in a lot of different directions, but the Saints seem to be enamored with him. I'm not sure Bridgewater has that much of an upside. So Hill would be the guy I'm speculating on there. And I'm really interested to see what becomes of the Steelers where, again, you know, I hurt Roethlisberger. You know, he played very poorly in week one, injured early in week two. Rudolph went early enough in the draft that I have a little bit of optimism for him. I'm not giving up on Juju. If you could trade Sammy Watkins for Juju Smith-Schuster, not everybody agrees with this. I would still take Juju. I'm still optimistic Connor can be a top 15 running back, maybe top 12. I know that's not exactly where you drafted him, but I don't think Connor is going to fall off the face of the earth. Now, if you don't want to get invested in any of these new situations, but you do need quarterback help, maybe you don't trust Jameis Winston, maybe you have any number of the guys who are hurt, Andy Dalton, I know he's playing Buffalo this week, and it's a bad matchup. The Bills have a great defense. The Bengals have a really bad offensive line. They're struggling to run the ball. When your offensive line stinks, you need to mask it in the passing game. That's where you have more of a chance. I think the Bengals are going to be a very reliable volume passing game. I like Tyler Boyd. They finally unlocked Ross. I don't know when they'll get Green back. That's been pushed back for the timetable, and injury optimism is generally not your friend in fantasy, so I don't know if Green will be a part of this, but I think Zach Taylor was a good hire. I think Dalton probably struggles against the Bills' defense. They're one of the defenses I try to avoid, and so I can't guarantee you Dalton will be great this week, but I think there's going to be a lot of volume in this passing game. If you've been screwed at quarterback, Kirk Cousins we can't trust because they don't want to throw the ball at all. They want to win with rushing and defense. Again, Winston, I don't want to go near right now the way he's playing. Even a guy like Kyler Murray, where's the rushing? He ran for 1,000 yards last year. Was he at like 17 this year? Andy Dalton could be a very interesting pivot. Maybe not week three, but I think long-term he's going to be a reliable quarterback.
I was curious about Kyler Murray. I wanted to ask you about the rookie quarterback since Daniel Jones is now getting the start with the Giants. How has Murray been from a fantasy standpoint through 2 weeks? He's getting passing yards. And what do you think of Daniel Jones from a fantasy play standpoint?
And Jones is a really tricky call, right? I mean, he goes sixth in the draft. It felt like the Giants were the only team that saw him as that glittering of a prospect, but then he played really well in preseason. And I know people poo-poo it. It's preseason. It's vanilla defenses. But when somebody plays as well as he did to the outlier performance that he posted, I think that might mean something. I like that he got changed over so quickly. I thought this was going to probably be a midseason change. I thought they'd give Eli kind of the benefit of the legacy doubt, but they're not doing that. Week three change. And even though Tampa Bay's defense is a little bit improved, I think Jones has a chance to be viable this week. Obviously, he can dump off the ball to Barkley. Evan Ingram, who finished last season very strong, looks like one of the right answers this year, a tight end. You hope you have Ingram, and, man, you certainly hope that you have Mark Andrews, who's just going crazy. It doesn't have to be a this year's George Kittle, but if there is one, it's Mark Andrews. Man, am I high on him. I think Jones has a chance. I'm encouraged by what he did in the preseason. It was an outlier to such a level that I think we have to take it seriously. I'm sorry, you asked me a second part of the question. I don't remember what it was.
Just about Kyler Murray and how he's doing so far.
Murray, sure. Yeah, you know, you like the volume. You like the pace. They're getting extra snaps every week. That's good. I thought he was certainly nervous in that first week, but then he just kind of let it fly in the fourth quarter. It was terrific. Still a lot of receiving talent here. And Larry Fitzgerald at age 36 still cranking it out. We were worried about Christian Kirk in the preseason. I was really high on him maybe in June or July. I backed off a little bit in August, but he's actually been fine. They got David Johnson going in the passing game in week one. They moved away from it in week two, in part because David Johnson was dinged up in that game. But I think having David Johnson involved in the passing game is something they need to do. Johnson had more air yards as a receiver in week one than he did all of last season, which is really a condemnation on the previous coaching staff. I'm just surprised Murray hasn't run that much because, you know, the athlete that he is, the speed that he has, I thought we'd see some of that Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this guy's too fast for the game. He's going to break it. He's been actually more patient and more looking to throw the ball downfield, probably good for his long-term prognosis, but it's not fantasy friendly because we thought maybe he'd be running for 30 to 50 yards every week. Hasn't happened yet. Bottom line, he's ownable. He's under the cut line for me. He's not a top 12 quarterback for me right now. I need to see a little bit more consistency. They need to get in the end zone more. So I thought maybe if you told me he had this volume after 2 weeks, I think like, oh my God, he's going bonkers. He hasn't really done that. To me, he's more of a reactive fantasy guy to own right now than a proactive one.
All right, before I let you go, the Bills could be really kind to you these days, right? Josh Allen's stock, I would assume, is going up a little bit. John Brown's off to a good fantasy start, right?
Yeah, Brown looks great with the volume. When a receiver goes to a new team, you wonder how quickly the acclimation process will take, but that hasn't been a problem. You know, it's funny. I mean, I start warming up to Zay Jones and Robert Foster at the end of last season. Foster can't get on the field.
Right.
Jones is hardly being used. And I guess that speaks to the things that Brown's doing and how he connects with Allen. I'd like to see Allen a little bit smarter with the scramble. Sometimes he's just so reckless and he's fearless, and you like that. But you need him long term. I mean, most teams just don't have a great backup, and I don't want to see him get hurt. I really think the Bills, it's well set up for them to be in the playoffs. We know Miami's terrible. Everything's gone wrong for the Jets. So the division sets up nicely. Maybe you can steal one of the New England games. This reminds me a lot of that Buffalo team 2 years ago that went to the playoffs. So right now I think they're a playoff team. And Frank Gore, you know, usually a 36-year-old running back, I'd be running for the hills. I know we've talked a lot about Singletary positively, and I still think he's a great player when he's healthy. Right now, he may not be. Projectable volume is your best friend in fantasy football at the running back position. And I think right now we have to put Frank Gore on double-digit touches every week. That's a currency. He's got a home game this week. He's about a six-point favorite. When you're looking for your running backs to play, you want to be tied to a favorite. You want your running back running the ball late in games, maybe killing the clock, salting the game away. I thought Frank Gore was going to be on my ignore list all season. He's actually a top 25 running back, maybe even a top 20 running back in week three.
Sports.yahoo.com is where you want to go to read all the stories, including the checklist. What'd you refer to it as, that you wrote Tuesday night?
Yeah, check engine light.
Check engine light.
Every quarterback in the NFL. A quick hit on every one of them, basically a tweet-length comment. And by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, Scott_Pianowski.
That was my next plug. Okay, Scott, thank you. Thanks again for your time, and good luck with all your fantasy teams this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Go Bills.
You bet. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Instigators will be here at the top of the hour to talk hockey with you on WGR. So just a quick update on the Sabres news. On Brandon Montour, the Sabres did tweet out that Brandon Montour will miss the rest of the preseason due to a hand injury. Sabres added they will provide an update on his status at the conclusion of training camp. Forward Scott Wilson, defenseman Casey Fitzgerald are day-to-day with lower body injuries. The Sabres are back at practice today, and they will continue their preseason tomorrow in Toronto. Instigators will talk more about the Montour injury and have more hockey for you in a moment. We are back tomorrow morning at 6, Football Friday. Don't forget, Sal, John Murphy, Scaff, Sean McDermott, all happening tomorrow. We'll get you ready for the Bills and the Bengals. Make sure you join us for that. In the meantime, have a marvelous day.